Howdy fans, Making 8 Rodeo Network is proud to present the Making 8 Morning Show. I'm your host, Scott Meesick. It is time to sit back, get a grip, because the show starts right about now.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
When the gates come open and they let in the crowd, it's time to step up and start knocking them down. When the clock hits zero, I'm gonna be the hero of life, but infamy is my destiny. I got my feet knocked out, it didn't stop me, did it? I caught myself on fire, it didn't scare me, did it? I got my feet bumped off, stomped, and couldn't win it. Still, I got back up, bared down, and
go ahead and say I won't. The game is serious, it's time to get it on. So go ahead and say I won't.
Well, good Monday morning, rodeo fans, Making 8 Maniacs, and of course, the Bucky Roos. Welcome back to another Making 8 Morning Show right here on Making8Rodeo.com. And man, I got to tell you, what a Monday it has started off to be. First off, I hope everybody had a great, safe, and happy Easter, as we had to celebrate and, you know, just really enjoy ourselves. We really did have a lot of fun, and, you know, hopefully you guys did as well. Spend time with family and, you know, really sat back and enjoyed ourselves here in Oklahoma. But, wow, what a Monday morning it started off being. First off, I was an hour late. The kids were almost late for the school bus as we woke up about 15 minutes before they had to catch it. So, yeah, overslept a little bit, but hey, you know, that's a typical Monday morning. You know, it is what it is. And we just got through it. Kids got up and got out the door and made it to school on time, so we're glad about that. Kind of missed the rodeos this weekend. You know, we sat back and, you know, I was like, wow, man, no PBR this weekend. It was kind of a bummer. But, you know, I know that the Cowboys there at the PBR, they really had to get things going. And, you know, they needed to a well-deserved week off. A lot of guys dealing with injuries, and, you know, it's been really tough on them this year so far. You know, some of our favorites, J.B. Mooney, you know, Austin Myers dealing with a shoulder injury. It's been really tough, but it did give us an opportunity to watch some other sporting events, and I was kind of excited about it. I got to sit back and watch opening day or the opening weekend for baseball. And, of course, you know, coming from Florida, we're going to be big Tampa Bay Rays fans. I actually worked, you know, less than a quarter of a mile from the stadium down there, went to several other games, and of course, they're in the same division as Boston and New York, and their opening weekend is against the New York Yankees. So I was sweating a little bit. There's a lot of Yankees fans out there, and it doesn't matter where you go, you're always going to run into them. They're those really annoying people out there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Yankee fans. Don't get all mad at me just yet. And it's a rivalry thing, you know, especially with Tampa being in the same division. It makes it really, really tough. And it used to be Boston, New York going at it with each other, but now the Tampa Bay Rays have kind of stepped in. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know that we would take not just one game out of the three-game series, but we swept the New York Yankees on opening weekend. So I was ecstatic. I'm telling you, you know, I had Austin, our oldest son, out here. We were just kind of hung on to the internet. We listened to it through the internet. Of course, I got the MLB, I guess, .tv or MLB.com, and I've got the radio package so I can listen to the updates and hear all the broadcasts of the games. And, you know, even though we're further away from home, we're not going to let that deter us. We are going to make sure that we get in the door and we can listen to our Tampa Bay Rays. And, of course, football season will be coming up this summer, and we'll be trying to catch the Bucks as well. But, yeah, I was pretty excited about that. Had an opportunity yesterday. Now, I cannot sit in front of the television and watch golf. of all things, you know. Local television networks always, you know, Sundays are going to cover golf. Well, I decided that I would flip through the channels, not a whole lot on television, and, you know, PBR's not on. What am I going to do? So I actually left it on the golf channel. Started to fall asleep. And, of course, I woke up, and they were going into a shoot-off. These guys, two guys, had to go at it. Now, this guy that ended up winning this Masters event from in Augusta, Georgia this weekend, Bubba Watson. Now, what kind of golfer's name? Now, of course, we got Tiger, and, you know, we got some of the big names out there, Phil Mickelson, and, you know, some of the guys out there. But Bubba, you know, come on. And if you've ever seen this guy, he's got YouTube broadcasts. This guy is like a comedian type thing. He is not your average golfer. He's kind of like the Adam Sandler, I guess you could say, kind of making an entrance out there, a little bit on his own program, you know. He's got his own personality about him, and he brings a new flavor to golf, of all things. But this guy's got a natural talent and could really change the shape of golf, you know. I mean, and hopefully rodeo, of course, we have our favorites, and we've got those guys that really stand out. Renato Nunez doing backflips. Ben Jones doing the Ben Jones boogie out there, you know. I mean, those kind of things bring excitement to the sport. And for this, you know, this guy Bubba Watson comes out, wins himself a green jacket, and got to tip your hat to this guy. Bubba Watson, man, I'm telling you, I got to say, I'm a golf fan now. So it was really a lot of fun, though, to sit back this weekend with the family. And, you know, yesterday, of course, being Easter Sunday, and we here at MakingEightRodeo.com, we recognize the true meaning behind Easter, you know, what it's all about. But it is, you know, we do share it with the kids, and we have an Easter egg hunt. We actually got to bring out Bucky the Bull. And if you guys have not been to MakingEightRodeo.com or to our Facebook fan page, make sure to go over there and do that. You can see some of the pictures that we took from this weekend. Of course, Bucky the Bull was able to help little Cheyenne, our four-year-old, out there hunting Easter eggs, and man, really had a lot of fun. The coolest thing was seeing the neighbors drive by and slow down when they see this bull out in the middle of the yard going to hunt Easter eggs. But they had a field day. Loved it. Honking the horn, waving. Man, it was just a lot of fun to bring Bucky the Bull out for that, you know. Did get a chance to see a little bit of some church services. We actually sat back here online and watched them. And, I was really impressed. I got to see Tim Tebow. And, of course, I am a Tim Tebow fan, you know, because, number one, he did go and play 4 years at the University of Florida. And being a big Gator fan that I am, of course, I really like watching Tim Tebow. And then, of course, he gets drafted by the Denver Broncos. And second to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I would have to say Denver Broncos are my favorite team. So I had an opportunity to follow him there. And now he's been traded to the New York Jets. But he did get an opportunity to go down to Texas this weekend. And, you know, I really am impressed by this young guy. You know, a lot of people actually mock him, and I find that to be pretty disturbing and upsetting, you know. It's just one of those things that, you know, I don't think it's anybody's place to judge a man, you know. And I really respect Tim Tebow for doing what he does out there. I will say that he's not the first one that does this Tebowing, you know, and that, of course, is taking a knee and saying a prayer. Cowboys have been doing it since the dawn of time, since we started rodeoing, you know. I know myself especially, you know, and, of course, being a Christian person, you know, and having faith, you know, there are no atheists in the foxhole. I can tell you that right now. When you're getting out there and you're doing such a dangerous sport, or you're doing any kind of sport, you know, you want to have your hand, you want to have a hand of protection, and you're going to pray for a safe, clean game, and for you to be able to play to the best of your abilities. And that's what Tim Tebow does, and he does it openly. And a lot of guys, you know, have had a hard time with that. A lot of people mock him for it. I say, you know, those that mock him are going to end up, you know, having to stand in front of judgment, you know, in front of their maker one day. And that's going to come back. I know myself, I respect a man for that. And, of course, all cowboys and cowgirls have been known to do that out there for a long time at these, you know, rodeo events and just even every day in life, you know. You know, you're happy when that calf is safe, and, you know, you can bring them back out of the pastures and things like that. So anyways, I see we've got some fans jumping in our chat room. Now, I will tell you, we've got a great guest lined up here today on the show, and I'm just I was so excited to get up here Monday. Of course, I'm dragging tail, late, you know, running late already, getting the kids off for school, but we did get some great, great things happening here today on the Making 8 Morning Show, and one of them being that we've got a great guest lined up for today. Some of you may know him. Others, from what I hear, may not have been had the opportunity to see this guy at rodeos, and we're going to have an opportunity for you, the fans, to sit back and talk with him. So, with that being said, we are going to take our first break here, fans, and when we come back, we look to have our guest on the line. We'll see if we can't bring him on. We've got a lot of rodeo, a lot of bull riding action to talk about here on a Monday Making 8 Morning Show. So stay tuned right here, and you can also come on down to making8rodeo.com. On the homepage, you'll see our chat room. Come on over here and chat with us, or you can feel free to call us and either listen in or post your comment. We'd love to hear from you. 646-915-9940. You're listening to the Making 8 Morning Show right here on making8rodeo.com.
Howdy fans, it's time to get a grip and come on out to Guthrie, Oklahoma for the 82nd Annual 89er Day Celebration, April 17th through the 21st, with two rodeo performances, April 20th and 21st, 7 p.m. Saturday, April 21st, 12 noon, there'll be a parade down the streets of Guthrie, so come on out and see Bucky the Bull, also Bullseye the Rodeo Clown, and all of your favorite rodeo athletes. Making 8 Rodeo Network will be there broadcasting live. So come on out, get down with the clown, and get a grip with Bucky the Bull during one of the greatest rodeo celebrations in Oklahoma. Visit 89erdays.com for more information. We'll see you there.
Tingling, ringing in my head. I woke up dog tired, beat down, half dead. Trying to recover from another wild weekend. Chugging down coffee while I should have been sleeping. Well, it sure is Monday, hitting it. I had a ball Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But it's all over now, and it sure isn't Monday. Ooh, I got to the job site at 9:15.
That's right, fans. It's G-Money Rodeo time. Scott here with the Making 8 Rodeo Network, and I want to invite you down to the third annual G-Money Rodeo Series from Miami, Oklahoma, April 26th through the 28th. After Friday night's performance, stick around for a dance with DJ, special needs rodeo on Saturday, and then don't miss the action. Jason Savory and Two Steps Back. That's right. One great rodeo performance, two great concerts, all for one admission. Bucky the Bull will be there, along with the entire Making 8 Rodeo Network broadcasting live. For more information, contact Steve Gessert at 918-683-1988 or check out gmoneyrodeo.com. So come hang out with Making 8 and the entire G-Money Rodeo crew, April 26th through the 28th in Miami, Oklahoma, and we'll see you at the rodeo.
Well, as the saying goes, long live cowboys. So if you want to be like a cowboy, dress like a cowboy, there's only one way to go. Wrangler jeans and shirts, that's the place to be. Be there or be square. From the low cuts to the cowboy cuts, they've got them all. Wrangler jeans and shirts. Take it from me, world champion Rob Smets. Being a cowboy runs in your jeans.
Howdy, rodeo fans. Maniacs and buckaroos. Scott Misek here with the Making 8 Rodeo Network. Want to invite you all to go check out making8rodeo.com. With weekly radio shows such as Short Go Radio with our good friend Mike Anderson, Katie Bartlett, host of True Cowboy Radio, Full Talk Hour with Greg McKinley, The Morning Coffee Show with five-time champion Rob Smith, and of course, the Making 8 Morning Show with yours truly. Also check out our live rodeo webcast. And Thursday night, we have rodeo chat right from Twitter. We have all of your rodeo information and Bucky the Bull too. So get a grip on rodeo with www.making8rodeo.com.
Oh, that's right. Welcome back to the Making 8 Morning Show right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network. And boy, I've got to tell you, we are just excited about what's happening here on a Monday morning. And I know most of you think, oh, it's Monday. How can we get things up and running? Well, guess what? If you're listening to us right now on the Making 8 Morning Show, you might just be able to get things rolling. And we hope that we can help encourage you and get your day started off right. Wouldn't you know? Well, you know, I told you that we had a good guest on the line, and I think that we are ready to bring him on. So, rodeo fans, ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely my pleasure to bring on one of the best entertainers. He is a legend to me in the rodeo industry. And, you know, this guy, for a number of years, has entertained fans all over. We've even seen him on national television. And I'm talking about none other than the Coopertown Clown, the legend himself, and the world-famous entertainer, Mr. Burt Davis. So,
Burt,
welcome to the Making 8 Morning Show.
How are you?
Was that good enough? Was that a good enough welcome for you?
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to go get another Kleenex and wipe the tears out of my eyes, but it's the Coppertown Clown. But, you know, I work with professional announcers all over the United States and Canada, and I've been called the Coopertown, the Coppertone, the Coppertop, and everything else. It's the Coppertown Clown, but thank you for I'm very, you know, emotional over this. You know, I'm excited to be here.
Well, you know, I do apologize, Bert, about that. It's just one of those things. Now, this was put together pretty quickly as we just had the opportunity to speak this morning. But really, we're just excited to have you on. And, you know, we have seen you at rodeo performances from times that I was a kid, you know. And then we've had an opportunity to watch you perform on national television, you know. So, there's a lot of history, and you really have set a tone out there for other rodeo entertainers to follow, and we're just glad to have you a part of it. And you know, I want to say welcome, but let's talk a little bit about how you got started in the rodeo business and in the entertainment business.
Oh, well, back when Noah was building the ark and Moses walked on water, I went to my first rodeo, it seems like. No, I started in 1974 at the age of 16. I grew up in Oakdale, California, the cowboy capital of the world, which their rodeo is kicking off this weekend coming up, and we're back here in Alabama, but oh well. I grew up going to the rodeo back then, you know, our schools, our elementary schools, and a kind of funny story that, you know, girls had to wear skirts or dresses, and only the Friday before the Oakdale rodeo, they could wear jeans, so we always went to the Oakdale feed store or Harold's Western Wear store and get our cowboy clothes and looking to the nines and tens and going to the rodeo, and I'd always go to the rodeo, and the only thing that interested me was the rodeo clowns. There was a legend in our area, Wild Bill Lane, worked all the major rodeos on the West Coast, great entertainer, crazy, used to jump bulls without a barrel, you know, free-footed, jump over them. He was a legend, and he lived 5 miles from Oakdale, and so, you know, anytime I got a chance when I was little, my mom would drive by to see what animal he had in his backyard or his front yard or in his Cadillac or, you know, Bill Lane was just a very different character, and I would always go and hang out at the clown trailer, ask him, you know, where do I get my makeup and where do I get baggy pants, and I was that little annoying kid that would ask a clown a million questions and try to be in the clown act, and I thought rodeo only had bareback riding, bull riding, and the clown act. You know, because any of the other times during the rodeo, if the clowns wasn't out in the arena, I was at the clown trailer hanging out with them. And I don't know if the grease paint, you know, what they look like and you know, in normal life, and then when they go into character and with makeup and, you know, that intrigued me, just like the rock group Kiss when I was a kid, you know, and that's all I did. And at 16 years old, I went to Bill Lane, when I was 15 years old, I went to Bill Lane saying, I need to go to a bullfighting school. And he goes, no, you need to learn by, you know, picking yourself back up and see if you want to run around another one. He goes, you can't learn nothing in 3 days. And so he goes, I'll show you what I know. And I worked with him that summer. And during the next spring, and he calls me up in June and goes, Bert, I have another show for you, but you got to become an RCA member. And I got to work St. Paul, Oregon at the age of 16, you know, the second biggest pro rodeo in North America during the 4th of July. And I worked it with the legendary Wick Pep. And, you know, that's where I started. Now, 38 years later, here I am. You know, it's been a wild ride.
Oh, I'm sure it has, you know, and there's been so many rodeos up and down those roads in between those 38 years. It's just so impressive. Let's talk a little bit about when you got started with your world-famous acts that you do now, which would be with your animals. And let's talk a little bit about those guys.
Well, you know, I've always, you know, when I started clowning back in 74 and everything, to be a successful rodeo clown, and rodeo clown, the image has changed over the last 38 years. Now, you know, when I first started, you was the rodeo clown. You told the jokes. We didn't have wirelesses back then. You yelled up at the announcer, told him a joke, he'd recite the joke, he'd ask why, you tell him the punchline, and yada, 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 you know, and then you had to do your clown acts, and back in that day, you had to have major acts, otherwise you wouldn't get a job clowning, you know, you had to have trained animals, and, or an exploding trick car, and there was only several of them that was really, I like to entertain, and I'm like the worst critic when it comes to humor, you know, and especially that's why I'm so hard on myself. But, you know, you had to have them kind of acts, and Wilbur Plogger, Hall of Fame rodeo clown, lived about 100 miles from me. He was another legend. Worked, you know, if I have Wilbur Plogger's schedule, I'd say that, you know, one of my dreams in life is complete, because he worked them all. And he gave me a little bit of advice in 1974 at a rodeo. He goes, you know, I'm only going to give you one bit of advice. You do things with kids or animals, and people will love you forever. Well, in 1980, I got a trick horse and then got a trick pony and a trick mule. you know, that other people train. And then in 95, my kids retired. My kids were a big part of my show, Cheyenne and Cody, and a little kids dance act that used to rock the house. And then they wanted to play baseball, so then I went to concentrate with more with animals. I had my trick horse professor. I had my miniature trick horse named Bridget. And then I had, started getting these dogs. And I had a gentleman that used to travel with circuses teach me a lot about animal training. And when I was a kid, there were so many animal trainers that were rodeoed. You know, there was Bess Reynolds, there was Wilbur Plogger, Jay Sisler, Tommy Lucia, a bunch of them. And, nobody would tell their secrets, but if you sat and watched and figured it out, you could learn that. And I was, and with what Curtis had showed me in the past, we came with a bunch of dogs, and now, they've been paying our way for the last 10 or 12 years. And, this is a new group compared to the original ones, but I'm looking right now at Angela. She is now 20-year-old. I started with three dogs in 95, and she's the last of the originals. And we retired her in Bowling Green, Kentucky, after she'd won the showcase for her. Let's see, well, she placed a third in 98, won it in 06, won it in 2010, and 2012, and she's Sharon Osborne's favorite dog when we was on America's Got Talent.
Wow. Now, how many dogs do you actually have now that you work with?
Well, right now, because while we're here in Athens, Alabama, we had a litter of pups. We have an old shaggy cow dog named Delilah, and then Bo, you remember him at the showcase. He's the one that has to talk. He's the one that told Howie Mandel to shut up on the TV show, and he's the barker. He's the daddy, and we had two pups. A little girl dog didn't make it, but now we have a new addition to the crew called Bubba Blakely. And he's a little, it looks like he's going to be, look like Kitty, but he's going to be a border collie markings, but look like Kitty, the little trash can dog that won the showcase in Oklahoma City in January.
Wow, man. And you and your wife, you all travel with these dogs everywhere you go, just about. You take them on the road with you. That's got to be a lot to keep up with. I mean, we've got three kids that we travel with, and it's hard to keep up with them. I can only imagine what you have to do with all those dogs.
Well, it is a lot of work with 14 dogs. They go everywhere with us. Several years back when we used to stay at the Mirage and at the Riviera during the PRSA convention, they'd go to the puppy spot for a week, and we would miss them. But, with our deal, it's a lot of work, a lot of time. We don't get to do a lot of things as other specialty acts or other rodeo clowns do. Like, we had this weekend off, and, we're a long ways from home, and we're in Athens, Alabama, and some guys can either drop their trailer and drive home or fly home and leave their rig in there. We can't, because we have dogs, and, most of the specialty acts they have, they use with horses, trick riders and trick horses and buffalo and, whatever John Payne has. They can come to an arena, turn them out, throw them a bunch of hay, fill up the water trough, and they can leave them for a day or two, and everything's cool. With us, it's, it's a full-time job. It's 24/7. When we had the puppies the other day, we was trying to save the little girl dog. She was the firstborn, and she wasn't quite right, but, Franny and I was up with her, for all day and all night until she passed the next morning. But, that's our job with these animals is a 24/7. Our life is limited, but, what do you do? These are our kids, our grandkids. Today, right now, they're all outside right now, and you can't hear them. But now if somebody pulls up while I'm on the phone, you'll hear them go off. But, it's our kids. You got three of them, and like today, you was late. Have a holiday, and then you're late getting the kids to school. Way to go, Dad,
I know, right? Well, that's
they're late, jacked up on candy, and now you send them to school. There's something wrong with that picture.
I know it. And I thought they would be bouncing off the walls, but of course it was 10 o'clock at night before they finally wound down after all their holiday candy. But
yeah. And that's what they had for breakfast, too. You just didn't see it because you were still in bed.
That's right. Well, we just stuck a little candy in their pocket and said, here you go. Eat it on the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
We may get a call from their teacher here in just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, not the teacher. You know, the principal.
The principal, right.
Yeah. Mr. Scott, will you please down and come down and get the kids now?
They're crawling on the ceilings.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I've got to ask you, but can you tell us or maybe share with us one of your biggest events or one of the most entertaining times that you've had with your animals? Can you share with us a little bit of a great story that you may have with something that your animals may have done, something that you may not have expected, but they happen?
Oh, God, you know, that could go on. You know, that list is long. You know, there's... You know, performing at the National Finals Rodeo with, you know, my star dog, the dog that made me famous, Kelsey. You know, going in there in 2000 and being the first comedy act during an opening, because always during the openings at the National Finals Rodeo was all serious. They wanted the horse acts and everything else. And they were very nervous about bringing a comedy act to the NFR. And we did the opening, and it was great. And then in 2003, we came back, and Sean Davis had an idea that we was on live TV, and they needed something for that minute and a half or 2 minute slots. And I was one of those first ones that they thought could do it. And the pressure going in there, and, you know, and the NFR, you know, in the rodeo world, you know, the abbreviations, you know, for the words, you know, it can go on, and you know where I'm going with that. But, you know, when you walk down that tunnel, and going out there and hearing Tolman and Bohemus saying, ladies and gentlemen, you know that everybody that's sitting there in that plaza are the icons of rodeo. You know, the legends, the families of legends, and yada, yada, yada. The history of rodeo is sitting in that plaza, and you go out there for the first time in your life and perform in front of all them, the biggest show in the world. Yeah, it's very humbling. And, you know, and the other stories, you know, our showcase dogs, you know, this year we did something that nobody has ever done in showcase history. You know, I entered the Barrelman contest. We was there in 2010 and won the contest with just a Mutley crew and doing it with 10 dogs. First time anybody in rodeo has ever done it with 10 dogs. And we watched the bull sale, and the Barrelman just sat out there in their barrel. So I thought, well, I'll enter the Barrelman contest this year, along with entering the comedy act and the dress act. And when it was all said and done, I was sore, very emotional, and we walked away with 3 buckles. We won the showcase in the Mutley crew 3 times. We won it with the Garbage Van Nightmare with 2 different dogs 3 times. I won the Barrel Man. They placed 3rd. You know, the stories of these dogs, you know, and, you know, one of the probably the most, you know, stories that I really can't say on radio, you know, is a story about me and a little girl from Vietnam in Wilmington, Massachusetts, after the 9/11. And Kelsey walked up to this little girl, and this little girl hugged Kelsey. And we're with the Shriners Burnt Unit. We're talking to these kids that have, you know, the sights that I've seen that day of these little kids and what the Shriners Hospital there in Massachusetts did with these little kids. And when Kelsey walked up to this little girl, and this little girl gave her a hug, and the little girl had a smile on her face. And finding out after the fact was this little girl was from Vietnam. She stepped on a landmine and blew off her face, reconstructed it. She'd never be able to hear or see again. And the Shriners had taught her to do everything by touch. And that was the first smile that put on that girl's face in a year while she was there at that hospital. And I'm very surprised that I could tell that story right now. Maybe because I'm walking around and talking with my hands, I got through it, because you can ask my wife, Franny, when I tell this story, it's usually a bunch of tears and it was one of the most humbling experiences in my life. But anything that I've done in the 38 years of rodeo has been, you know, humbling. I'm just so excited to get to do what I love. And I guess Bubba Watson said it yesterday, you know, that he hasn't gotten this far in his dreams. And that's one of the greatest statements that I've ever heard. And I live that every day.
Wow. Man, I'll tell you, you know, Bert, that gave me chills just hearing that, and that really is. It's such a prideful feeling to know that, you know, you can accomplish those things. And of course, we had the opportunity to meet you and broadcast online all of your acts during the showcase. And you know, the one thing that I had said, and of course, Brett Weldon was there with me as my special co-host commentator for the event, was that we think that if you would have entered up that day in the announcer showcase, you would have won that too, because you were just on fire. And it was so great to see you after 38 years still performing like it's your first event. It was just so exciting. And you know, to work with the animals that you do, animals are unpredictable. And it's one thing to work with a horse or a bull, you know, or certain animal out there just being one. But you deal with multiple dogs, and that is just, that says so much for what you do for the sport.
Well, thank you. And Roger Mooney told me when I first brought out the dogs, we was doing the Junior Cow Palace. It was a high school finals out in San Francisco, California, and I did the Mötley Crüe for the first time there. And, you know, I was disappointed in their performance, and I didn't see no video of it, because just like during the showcase, I thought my dogs really screwed up during the showcase this year. And well, after watching the video of it, you know, they were pretty good. You know, the only ones that really knew that they messed up was Franny and I, and they looked a lot worse in my eyes, because when I'm going, you know, 100 mile an hour out there doing these acts, and I'm dealing with 10 dogs, you know, and don't know, you know, if it's going to be a good day or if it's going to be a bad day. You only have 6 minutes to perform, and you haven't worked with announcers, because this year they did a draw where you picked your announcer in the past before, and that I've gotten to work with some, you know, great announcers in that showcase that has gone on and be some of the top names in the industry. Tim Fuller, when I won it the very first time in 98, Bill Hankins in 2006, or 2010, and 2006. God, I wish I could remember back that far now, you know, who it was. I'd have to go ask, you know, my manager, Franny. She could probably tell us, you know, who was the deals. But, you know, when you're dealing that, and, you know, when we was on the show, you know, on America's, you know, Got Talent 2 years ago, you know, Bob Tallman, the legend, you know, I've known Bob Tallman ever, you know, way back in the RSC days where he started with Bob Cook out in California. And he'd been trying to tell us to, you know, we got to walk away from rodeo. The economy is bad. We're losing sponsors. You know, they're trying, you know, with the diesel fuel, they're trying to put more money into the added event. They got to pay more for the stock contractors. You need to find other employment. Your dogs are too spectacular to just be, you know, not being used up. And so Franny signed us up for America's Got Talent. And when you're performing an act like ours with 10 dogs, and if you watch a dog act, you know, on YouTube, or, you know, it's, you know, there's two or three dogs that do all the tricks, and the rest of them are just figures out there, what I call as prop dogs, where all of ours are performing. Well, you know, we did our act in 90 seconds for America's Got Talent. Franny and I rehearsed. We was there in Cleburne at Doug Mathis's place with a stopwatch, you know, with the music and making sure that we hit it. And when we go out there, you know, we're on a stage, and the dogs are used to a rodeo arena dirt. They're used to being people, you know, behind the fence, and with the TVs, the lights, and everything else. You know, our dogs, you know, there were some of them that wasn't used to it. And, you know, we kind of had a big screw up, you know, right at the start of it. And I was able to quick think enough and call Jamie out to jump through the hoops, that, you know, it's on my Facebook page and on the Davis Mötley Crüe page, you know, got that picture that was taken for the Dallas Morning Sun. And, you know, it's one of the best pictures in 38 years of my business, and it was right after the biggest wreck that I could ever had on national TV. And what was funny, when we went to the Vegas round, you know, Howie Mandel asked me this question, because they usually talk to you before you do your act, and they come up and talk to you again. And he asked me, you know, if we move on from the Vegas round, can we perform in front of a live crowd, in front of millions? I said, well, I performed in front of 73,000 at Rodeo Houston. You know, every performance I have is live. I just got to know how to make it better.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I for one really feel like you did that. You and your lovely wife, who we also had the opportunity to meet. Now, she is not only your manager, but she is your partner and your best friend. She's also your trainer with these dogs. Let's talk a little bit about you and her. How long have you guys been married?
Since 2003, but we go back a little further. Thanks to the guy that got me started, as I said, Wild Bill Lane, we're doing a rodeo in Myrtle Point, Oregon in 1974. And I, you know, as a young kid, you know, I was always taught that when I travel with somebody, I do exactly what they do, what they want to do, and I don't raise a fuss because I don't want to disrespect my family and have the people that I ride with. So Bill Lane, you know, I travel with him. We go to the motel. We eat at the same place. You know, I do whatever he did because I didn't want to stir no wave. Well, at a rodeo there in Myrtle Point, Oregon, Bill goes, "Hey, there's a rodeo dance tonight. You know, you ought to go to the rodeo dance. You can get girls." Well, I'm a 15-and-a-half, 16-year-old, naive little boy. Girls at a dance? And I said, "But I got to go to the motel room." He goes, "You know, we're not leaving until tomorrow afternoon. You know, why don't you go out and, you know, have a good time?" Well, I met Franny then at that dance, and we was an item there, and she still has letters that I wrote to her in the winter of 74 saying that, "Hey, if you know anybody that can get me a job up there in Oregon, you know, all working for $100 or $125 a performance, and can you make me a red and white polka dotted shirt?" You know, we dated on and off for several years. You know, she was a queen, numerous queens there in Oregon, and also she barrel raced, had a smoking little horse that won her a lot of money, and we kind of, you know, on and off, you know, for several summers, and then we went our separate ways 20 years later. Our paths have crossed, and, you know, we've been together ever since.
Wow. Wow, that is so interesting.
You know, she made a statement the other day when we were sitting we got some late bookings, you know, some rodeos I've been waiting on, and we were sending the promo package, and she goes, "You know what's really scary is that I've known you all the 38 years in your career."
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, you know, it is so entertaining to sit back and watch you guys at rodeos. Tell us about, you know, one thing that you mentioned earlier here in the show was that how rodeo has changed. Let's talk a little bit about that and what you've had to do as a rodeo entertainer to make those adjustments, you know, with your dogs and with your showcase acts and just what you do out here in the rodeo business.
Well, you know, rodeo has changed and in the contract personnel of rodeo announcers, bullfighters, stock contractors, rodeo secretaries, timers, pickup men, clowns, bullfighters, specialty acts, you know, most of that category there can start their career at one rodeo and end their career at that rodeo. The announcer can keep on coming back, you know, to the same rodeo for as long, you know, once they hire him until he decides to retire or rodeo secretary, stock contractors are the same way. But rodeo clowns and specialty acts have to do a rotation. You know, the clown gene pool and the acts, you know, we're a dying breed. There are some good ones out there, but when I started, I could list, you know, give you a list that could go forever, and we was all competing against the same job. Now the entertainment has not as much. There's a lot, you know, a lot of people don't want to have the time and effort that Franny and I put in and doing these dogs. We've been training, all this week because this was our last weekend off. Easter weekend we had off, and now our schedule gets so crazy, you know, for the next 2 months that, you know, all we have is performances and drive time, and that's going to be it for about 2 months. But, you know, our acts, you know, rodeo started as an entertainment, you know, and then we brought it to town. And with the economy, you know, we go to places like, you know, there in Nashville, Tennessee, the Brigstone Center, it costs $20 to park. You know, there's only a handful of rodeos that cost $20 a ticket. And, you know, when the parking costs more than the general admission ticket, where, you know, where are we going to get our sponsors? Do the economy, you know, and where we're in. You know, there's a lot of rodeos that are still good. Now with the fuel at $4 a gallon, and this is why we're here in Athens, Alabama, is because we didn't want to drive home to spend 1,500 miles, you know, $1,500 and fuel to go home for 5 or 6 days to come back to start rodeoing again. So we just decided to camp out. You know, fuel has gotten way high. Cowboys, you know, with Nintendo and PlayStation and computer and Facebook, you know, the kids, you know, in my era, we had to, you know, we had to do our chores in the morning and night and then work all day on weekends unless we had a ball game or something that we got to go to. But, you know, that wasn't every weekend that, you know, we had responsibilities and we had to do chores. And the old saying is that you run away with a circus. Well, what we did, we ran away with the rodeo. And kids nowadays, you know, we're losing the rural America because every place that when I was a kid that used to take you 10-15 minutes to get to the neighboring town takes you an hour because of all the signal lights. You know, we're losing rural America. You know, there are some parts of the country that is good, but you know, how can a family send a kid to a junior rodeo that they win a ribbon and it's going to cost them $250 in gas to haul that horse to that, you know, junior rodeo or high school rodeo or what, and they win a ribbon, and there's, you know, it's a losing deal. And until we can figure it out where we can be, you know, an entertainment and get back to the entertainment where people want to be a part of it again. There was we got an email a while back, you know, on a rodeo contestant said that he would never come to another one of these rodeos when they run it like a circus. You know, folks, you know, we are in the entertainment business, and if the crowd, if the building or the arena holds 6,000 people and it's only half full, how can we get the sponsors to come put their money? You know, they have so many things to donate to. They have the swim and the track, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the church groups. They, you know, the local deal. There's not enough money out there to be a part of. So you got to make your show the best game in town where the people will come to it, where the sponsors want to see their name talked about and advertised about, and everybody has a great time and they're all a part of it. When rodeo was a kid, you know, out at Oakdale, you know, the greatest, you know, coming to the second weekend of April, the Oakdale Rodeo, I couldn't wait until that deal. There was only two things in town that I was really excited about, and that was when the circus came to town and the rodeo go to town, and go figure, look at where I'm at now. You know,
right.
And, you know, so, you know, but we got to be the best show in town where everybody has fun. And I really don't think a rodeo can do it just by itself on rodeo unless you have the top guns, you know, like the National Finals Rodeo, where you have the top 15 and they're going for that kind of money. And that makes it good watching. But in all the other rodeos where, you know, the cowboys are trying to go to, you know, 10 rodeos a weekend and they're up in slack, and, you know, how can we advertise? You know, if Peyton Manning, you know, as the new quarterback for Denver, you know, if he was or didn't play during the game, would people come to see him? You know, and
right.
That's like when we don't have Trevor Brazil or we don't have Kaderin Slack and they're trying to go to another rodeo. You know, it's kind of hard for the community to get behind an event when they're looking for the superstars and they're not there. That's why the PPR has taken off so well, because it's the same 35 guys or, you know, or 40 guys, and then they make that change, you know, after 5 events. But everybody knows who they are because they see the same players, you know, all the time. Where rodeo,
right.
It's different. You know, rodeo is an action sport, and if you don't have a great announcer and a great production, you know, because as I've always said, I've been to a lot of amateur rodeos that should have been pro, and I've been to a lot of pro rodeos that should have been amateur. You know, it's all about production. When you have good quality personnel there and make the rodeo run smooth, and, you know, some guys say, well, a rodeo in 2 hours, you know, got to run it in 2 hours. Well, you know, sure, if you have, you know, because I know rodeos that last 4 or 5 hours long too, you know, but if you give them enough entertainment and everything, they will stay. You know, and there are some rodeos that have to last 4 hours, but there's a lot of rodeos that last 4 hours that you could have done it for 2 and 2.5 hours. So it's all about production. And when you put all that cast of characters in there, people will come and have a great time. And in our industry, and especially acts and clowns, they're doing away with this because they need to put that extra money, you know, towards the required personnel or to the added money where we can get, you know, more cowboys to come. And,
right.
You know, and another big problem is, and I'm probably going to get stabbed for this one, that, you know, there's some rodeos that have a clown that the committees look, why did we waste that kind of money on him? The guy don't, you know, he can't even put on his makeup right. And he's out there and he's telling a few, you know, gray area jokes. And, you know, I got some family upset of his humor. And let's not go that route. Let's put that money towards something else. And,
sure.
You know, there's some great entertainers out there. You know, there's a bunch of them. And I feel that I'm one of them. And, you know, with our actually, like, where we're at now at Lone Star Rodeo Company, we've been on the tour after the showcase, that, you know, we're doing an opening with our garbage can act, that, you know, Kitty and I just counted before I came on the air, that, you know, this weekend coming up, he'll celebrate on Saturday night his 20th performance of doing the act, and it's the opening here. And, in 2 months, he's come with spotlights in a dark house that couldn't even see the papers, and being thrown in a trash can and, you know, jump in there and do the whole routine. And this weekend, he'll be 20 performances, and he's our newest superstar. And people need to see it. You know, I go out there and do this act, pantomime, and the people are applauding, they're laughing. You go to my website at coppertownclown.com and go to the videos and watch the top 2 or 3 videos of the Muttley Crew and Kitty and Balloon Bobo, and hear the people in the crowd that are laughing. And on them two, the several videos that I have, that, you know, there's little kids that are laughing. Well, you think, well, you know, you're taking your little kids to a rodeo. How are they going to understand the whole deal unless you give them something to entertain? If you keep the little kids entertained, the parents will have a good time because they weren't after the little kids, because the little kids sat and watched because we entertained the kids. We got to think about this in rodeo. Can a full-blown rodeo without no clown, no acts, and everything entertain kids that are 4, 5, or 6 years old because the parents want to have a good time? They don't want to be babysitting and be embarrassed if the kids aren't being entertained. And if you watch my videos, you'll see these little kids that are just giggling and laughing. So every time we came out during that event, they were quiet because they were going to see something good. And they giggled and they laughed. And, you know, that's the humbling experience that I have, that I can go out there, Franny and I can go out there, and Franny does her new act that she brought out this year, and with Kitty the Garbage Man Nightmare and the Muttley Crew, go out there without saying anything. I don't even carry a wireless right now, you know, with my acts. I just go out there and do it all pantomime, and the response and what the people say after the show about our dogs and everything is one of the most rewarding things I've ever got.
Wow. Yeah,
it's very cool.
Yeah, that has got to be entertaining. And, you know, it really says a lot for what you do for the sport, and being that you don't have to have a microphone to speak, and, you know, you let your acts actually speak for themselves. And that, wow. Well, we're actually winding down here towards the end of our show, and I've got to tell you, Bert, that this has really been entertaining to be able to hear from you. Where can some of the fans find you? Where, you know, we know that you've got your website, and
yeah,
we know that you've got a Facebook, but where can the fans go to see you there?
Okay, well, let's see. You know, since this was our last weekend off, next week we're in Oneonta, Alabama. Then we go to Lebanon, Tennessee, to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to Russellville, Kentucky, to Sonora, California, to Luxton, British Columbia, to St. Albert, Alberta, to Sisters, Oregon, down to Turlock, California, back up to Chinook and Augusta, Montana, over to Williams Lake, British Columbia, Eugene, Oregon, Breckenridge, Colorado, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, Plentywood, Montana. Then we have a couple weekends off, but I think they're getting ready to get filled. And then we're Fort Benton, Montana, Lethbridge, Alberta, Dillon, Montana, Bowman, North Dakota, El Paso, Texas, and Bonifay, Florida.
Wow. That is a schedule. And I'll tell you, you've got to have that there in front of you, because there's no way I could remember all of those rodeos. But And hopefully one day we'll be just as busy as you are out there on the roads, you know, and be able to hit these rodeos like you have. And it's got to be such a great life to be able to get out there and enjoy the company with your wife and with your children and the animals. I know that that's just a life that a lot of folks out there would love to have, and we're just proud to know you and be able to see you at so many different rodeos all across the U.S. and Canada.
We've been very blessed, in my career, and it's been an exciting ride. You know, we finally rebuilt it. You know, the last two years, my wife and I spent, pretty much all in Canada, where it was cool weather, where we could train the new dogs. It's a whole new act. We're right now, we're very proud of what we're doing. We got the Mutley Crew, the Kitty, the Trash Can Dog, Balloon Bobo. Always up in Canada last year. We bought a dog sled and all the gears, and we're coming up with a comedy act with a dog sled. We have several dogs that run barrels by themselves. We have our frisbee catching dogs. That's a real quick filler. I believe that I'm the only rodeo clown in North America that every act I do is with animals. I dig the part where people come up after the show and go, "Man, your dog, we really enjoyed your show. You was the best part of rodeo." And I guess I was born to be an entertainer, and I've been blessed for 38 years of doing it. Hopefully there'll be a bunch more years to come. You still need to fill some dates. And if you want something new and exciting at your rodeo that you've never seen, give us a call. Go to my website, get a hold of me, because we love to perform anywhere. And it's a special treat because each one of our dogs has their own story, how they became part of the Mutley Crew. Except for the four dogs now that are from the Born to Perform program. All these dogs, have a story of how they came to the Mutley Crew, of rescues from shelters, strays, and everything else to be, you see them in Oklahoma City, dogs that love to perform.
Absolutely. Well, Bert, thank you once again for taking the time out to join us here on the Making 8 Morning Show, and want to wish you and your lovely wife the best of travels and the safest of travels out there with these animals, and we certainly look forward to seeing you out here at these rodeos.
Okay, well, I hope to see you. I'm kind of bummed nobody called in and wanted to ask me a question.
It is one of those things that we do have issues with that. Now, we've got a lot of fans that have been tuned in here, and they've been on our chat room and, of course, just posting links and conversations about how much they enjoy watching your shows and watching the performances that you've done. But, I was kind of surprised we didn't get any callers, but we'll just have to have you call in here once again and check in with us maybe during the summertime, and we'll certainly line that up.
Love to, and have them send them, what you got on your little chat rooms right now, is send it to me where I could read the comments. Love to. I can only get better, from constructive criticism, and I'm a big fan of that. So
you bet.
Thank you so much for me being on the show, and folks out there, come and see our show. You'll love it. We're very proud of it. It's the best that we've had in 38 years, and we're ready to knock them dead.
Absolutely, Bert. Well, we are sure you'll do that. We send you all our best and look forward to talking with you again.
Okay. Thank you now.
Uh-huh. All right, fans. Well, that was it. He is a legend in the sport as a rodeo entertainer, and this guy is across from coast to coast, and really enjoyed hearing from him and having an opportunity to talk with him, Mr. Bert Davis. And we do look forward to seeing him out at rodeo events here. And you guys can find him. Go to the – let's see if I can get this right. the Coppertown Clown, not the Coopertown, the CoppertownClown.com or www.coppertownclown.com. We've got our links posted here. He also has a Facebook page, and, you know, drop by them, you know, share with him. Tell him what you think of his performances, and you can find out and see some of his acts there on his website. Really, like I said, just a great entertainer and all-out great guy. I think that you would really enjoy seeing him out there. And when you do get a chance to see him, stop and talk with him, because you know, Bert is certainly one of those rodeo entertainers out there that is very humble and will certainly talk with anybody and share those stories. And like you said, each one of his animals do have their own story in itself. So it's always a pleasure to hear from him. But well, fans, we are fresh out of time here on a Monday. I want to remind you that Wednesday we will be on air with Mr. Rob Smets. That's right, world champion, five-time world champion bullfighter Rob Smets will be back on the air with the Morning Coffee Show. Want to invite y'all out 10 o'clock Central Time. He will be there, so you'll have an opportunity to hear him then. Not going to get to the cowboy logic for the day, but I think Mr. Bert Davis has really summed up a lot for us in the cowboy logic and, well, the cowboy lifestyle and just what we need in rodeo business, and we really enjoyed hearing from him. And got to thank all of our fans once again for tuning in here today. We've got a lot more shows coming to you. You can find them on making8rodeo.com, so make sure you find them there. Until then, rodeo fans, we'll talk to you later. Take care and have a great day. We will see you on Wednesday.
Thanks for tuning in with Making 8. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Howdy fans, it's time to get a grip and come on out to Guthrie, Oklahoma for the 82nd Annual 89er Day Celebration, April 17th through the 21st, with two rodeo performances, April 20th and 21st, 7 p.m. Saturday, April 21st, 12 noon, there'll be a parade down the streets of Guthrie, so come on out and see Bucky the Bull, also Bullseye the Rodeo Clown, and all of your favorite rodeo athletes. Making 8 Rodeo Network will be there broadcasting live. So come on out, get down with the clown, and get a grip with Bucky the Bull during one of the greatest rodeo celebrations in Oklahoma. Visit 89erdays.com for more information. We'll see you there.